In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, and my husband, David Stark, for an intimate husband and wife conversation about miracles within some very extreme and personal areas. It's What the Prophets Say, friends. Hello, loyal listeners and newcomers alike. It's an episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. You are supremely welcome. You are looking particularly gorgeous today, and we celebrate all that you are and are glad that you have given us your time. So I am joined in the studio today just by one guest for an intimate conversation.
Oh my.
He's my favourite. He's your favourite. It's my lovely husband. Please welcome David Stark.
Nobody warned me we were having an intimate conversation.
Well, I suppose if it's only two of us, it is.
Okay.
It's not a banal conversation.
No, I hope not. Well, I certainly hope not.
No. I mean, you're probably saying it's not an aggressive conversation. What are my other descriptive options?
An open conversation.
Yes, there we go. Yes. You heard it here first, friends. It's an open conversation. David, how are you?
I am very well. Yes, indeed.
You are wearing my favourite shirt. It's not my shirt.
Oh, man.
It's your shirt, yes. But it's my favourite shirt on you, just for absolute clarity. For the listeners and not the visuals.
Yes, this was supposed to be a podcast. Nobody was to see me. I have a I have a face for radio.
No, you don't.
For those who are on the podcast, you can go to Power TV. It's the only place, our Power TV app.
Power
I think
TV.
That's the only place you can actually watch.
If they want to see your shirt. They're all making a beeline for it. Describe your shirt.
People always comment on this shirt. How would I describe it? It kind of looks, as I look in the monitors here, it looks a little bit like snakeskin. It is definitely not. It's a kind of fern pattern.
Fern, paisley.
There is a little bit of a nod to the paisley pattern, but I have to say that very quietly. Don't tell the intercessors, because the paisley pattern has similarities to some Indian patterns, which intercessors come up to me regularly to say it has demonic roots somewhere.
Right.
Listeners write in, tell us that. But the paisley pattern comes from the town of Paisley, which is just a few miles up the road here, and was one of the centres of weaving in the Industrial Revolution.
You're so entertaining, because I've complimented your shirt. We've got a history lesson. My very intelligent, genius husband.
But the issue with the shirt, which neither podcast listeners nor viewers on Power TV will be able to tell, is that it's a sort of a kind of a...
Crinoline.
Crinoline, I don't know what that means, but a very...
Oh my goodness. Clearly you're not going to be...
It's a very thin fabric. It feels...
This is not going well.
Yeah. Dear listener, it feels
Paisley
to me like...
Paisley pattern, thin fabric.
It's a little bit blousy. It's not a manly shirt. I feel like I need to go home and put on a big plaid lumberjack shirt instead.
To
and
balance
be a man
it later
and go
on
and
today.
Cut down some trees. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly, yeah.
When you do go and cut down trees, though, it puts me into perpetual warfare, because you have a ridiculous petrol-operated chainsaw.
We literally have an intercessor in New Jersey who intercedes just for when I am on chainsaw duties.
She is utterly brilliant. She's very little, very short. The chainsaw must be the length of her. Mm-hmm. And I was having a hairy canary about you buying a petrol chainsaw, because they're so lethally dangerous. And she said, I own five. And now she makes it, every time she does her chainsaw, she prays for your life when you're using your chainsaw.
The worldwide church is a gift.
Yeah. Anyway, good. So we are well. We are actually going on annual leave in 2 days.
Yeah.
And we're going to rest and
well deserved, because I believe this is episode 146 of your podcast.
Apparently I've been in every single one, so the class behind the glass said, well done if you've had the stamina to listen to all of them. We salute you.
We're at 335 power hours.
Oh my days.
That's a lot of hours.
Surely you lot are talking in an Ulster accent by now.
What I wonder is, are there newcomers who are having to catch up on these 300, 400 hours? There's probably out there on the internet, there must be 500 to 1,000 hours of content.
But our first weekend of holiday, we have children, or I say children staying. My youngest son has got 9 of his buddies in one bedroom, all bringing their sleeping bags. That's going to be a smelly testosterone boy. You know, why do boys' bedrooms always smell so bad? What is that with teenage boys?
Oh, my goodness.
So 8 of them, 9 of them, no, 10 of them with him in one room. And then my daughter's got her flatmates up.
I do know why it is, because I watched.
Oh, sorry, my goodness.
This is another science bit. So there's a lady who has, are we allowed to say this, an intersex condition from birth. How did we get onto this?
Where is this going?
No, but part of that is that she can't conceive. She doesn't have the ability to do that. But
born a hermaphrodite? Is that the right word?
You can't. No, you don't use that term anymore.
Why not?
That's not a correct terminology now.
Okay.
Intersex is the term.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
I'm learning.
But as part, she's female from outside. And she's a great advocate for people with that condition. Mm-hmm. And she was saying that she doesn't have body odor.
What?
Yep, that's part, because it's the condition doesn't allow you to. How did we get onto this? We will get onto.
We may need to cut parts of this, but can I tell you a miracle story? Can
it's,
I literally?
But it's because of the male hormones.
That's
what causes the stinkiness.
The stinky hormones. Yes. Yeah. Okay, there we go. But I'm now going to tell an amazing miracle story. You know where I'm going to go. Many years ago, one of my friends was over visiting. She was in the house. It was very late at night and we were tired, and she started to minister. And it was one of those unguarded prophetic words that's tired. And I did think at the time, what are you talking about?
I know where
about?
She's going. If you have children in the room, you might want to turn this down and listen to this
warning,
later.
Warning.
I know where this story is going.
And she said, you are going, Emma Stark, you're going to stand in front of people who were born with body parts missing, with sexual organs missing, and they are underdeveloped, and the intersex, that's not the word she used, because I don't think when she prophesied that was the kind of the most appropriately respectful word. And she said, and body parts are going to grow and other bits are going to shrink and bits are going to fall off. And I'm like, oh my days, this is a wild word. But it's funny, because it was so wild, I remembered it. It actually wasn't very long later. And you and I, you know where we were. We were ministering at a festival, I'll not say the nation, in a tent. And the wind is blowing a gale and the sun is also shining. And it's one of those bizarre kind of like...
a Scottish day where the blazing sunshine, pouring rain, and
I wasn't going to say the nation, but now I identified it as Scotland. We're doing very well here, aren't we?
Okay.
Anyway, so she comes to the comes to me and just wants prayer, and I lay hands on her, and I don't know, and I don't even remember her name, and I'm praying, and I start to pray. I command a womb into your body. And I think, oh my goodness, what have I just prophesied? And then I think, oh my, you don't have one. And then I go into panic mode of, I better list all functioning female parts, because I genuinely want her completely restored.
So you're calling.
I am calling a creative miracle in.
As it is in heaven.
As it is in heaven.
Because we
I'm
believe
calling
that we will
body.
One day
totally.
Have resurrected. Restored, full, healthy bodies. So
yes,
why not call
so
that?
I'm commanding
right
fallopian tubes. I'm calling in uterine walls. I'm calling in, and then I'm having a crisis of school days biology. And I mean, I did work in pharma at one point, and I did anatomy and physiology, so I should have some sort of clue. But you know, in those key moments, you just are drawing a blank as to how, what bit. So I remember at one point grabbing her very lovingly but intentionally going, and everything that makes a woman's body a woman, I call it into place in the mighty name of Jesus. And she is, do you remember, she was doubled over in pain, which should not have. Well, it wasn't what I was expecting. And then I'm going, oh no, I'm making this person worse. And she's like, something's happening. She's crying. And I'm thinking miracles shouldn't do a doubled over in pain type routine. And I'm concerned. She feels something is shifting very dramatically. And I don't know what to do with her at that point, because there's no manual for, for the detailed steps of creative miracles, apart from we know that God does miracles and he tells us to do them when he gives us the list of spiritual gifts in Corinthians. When there's 9 spiritual gifts listed, and one of them is he gives you the gift of miraculous powers. So I'm working with the gift of miraculous powers. If you have not asked for that, my friends, ask for it.
Yes.
I don't even think I knew to ask for it up to that point.
Yes, it's different from healing. This is
different from healing
gift.
Yeah. In that list of 9 spiritual gifts.
Come on, church.
So, come on, yes. So I've had to get a definition of what I think miraculous powers is, probably from this moment onwards, because healing is different. So miraculous powers is probably walking on water and walking through walls and these kind of creative miracles, commanding the weather, my best guess. So I send her to the portaloos. I'm sorry, children, close your ears.
This, you did introduce this as going to be an intimate conversation between us.
Yes, it is an intimate conversation. So close your ears if this kind of stuff offends you, and really turn the sound down for the littles in the room. I sent her with a mirror to the toilet and to the porta cabin, porta loo. I mean, they're awful, smelly, ugly things. Talk about men smelling. Doesn't matter whether you're a girl or a boy's porta loo, they all stink. I know you're sighing now, aren't you? But this is literally the reality of how do I test a miracle?
Mm-hmm.
Can I say what she came back and said to me? Is it too graphic?
You're going to say it whether I say yes or no.
She came back in. She was shocked, and she said this to me, kidding. She said, I have gone with the mirror. She says, there is an entry in my body that was not there before that only women have.
Praise Jesus.
I mean, mm-hmm. I had no idea what the right response was. I mean, I was too shocked to even jump up and down on the spot and go, this is amazing, God, you do all things well. I think she and I just were like, what just happened?
And people, this is real world church. And I know it's that kind of story has the potential to be awkward or even a little bit salacious in that sense. But actually, this kind of condition, part of being in a fallen world, does affect. There was a statistic that this person shared. It's a certain number of people that they are out there, and I guess it's like, obviously, Scripture doesn't talk about necessarily that, but we do have stories where Jesus heals the woman who had the flow of blood. That was clearly some sort of intimate condition. So the Bible doesn't avoid that. The lepers of the time of Jesus, who are our lepers nowadays, that society has almost kind of put to one side and said these people are odd.
Do you remember, it's a good few years ago now that we're reminiscing, we had somebody come in for a prophetic checkup, and I don't remember her name. I don't even particularly remember what she looked like. We prophesied over so many people, and we were prophesying merrily away, and actually not in and around the healing conversation, and she had a grapefruit size cyst in her uterine cavity, and I commanded life and healing and wellness very generally over her body. She went to our bathrooms. She passed it as a miracle of God, wrapped it in toilet roll, and came back and showed me it. And at that point, to her, it was utterly life trans. In fact, can I tell you, David, you know that's happened twice, where women have presented to me tumors that have come out of their womb area in toilet paper. And I'm getting better at the facial expression, because you want to be able to celebrate. God is interested in the details. He's interested in the personal. He is interested in the intimate. Mm-hmm. And it is our absolute pleasure to never bring shame into those situations and to not go like a silly child, mm-hmm. I'm praying for something private, but literally actually to be able to command the most personal parts of our bodies to function as God intended them to be, and to not to do us harm, but to be in the image of how God meant it, and to be able to command that is a real privilege for people's lives.
Yeah, I think it's good to be obviously sensitive and prophetic in this. This is not situations where you didn't go out to do something spectacular and make a great show or to force a person.
I mean, there was not an altar call that we might all get cysts passed into our hands. I mean, it's not a very nice thing to be presented with.
No, and in the case of the First Lady, you did not, this is a condition that she's always lived with and has got very used to. So in that case, the Holy Spirit sensitively introduced to her the situation. You were not pushing her there.
I think there's two or three times I can remember having to deal with very personal issues publicly. One of them many years ago, in a nation will not say, and I was, I think I was the only one or two women in a male-only leadership room. And the Lord, this is very clear divine instruction, said to me, get them to close their eyes and be forceful about it.
Everyone in the room.
Everybody in the room. And I mean, I knew I had to be terrifying. And it was almost sounded aggressively rude. You may not open your eyes. I will not speak until your eyes are clenched shut. It was that sort of like leadership ferocity. And nobody is comfortable with that, not even myself. And then I said to the guys, if you will, raise your hands if you have a porn addiction, and God will heal you on the spot of that. It was a remarkable promise of God. And I don't want that to become a methodology. It was a very specific thing for a moment of time. And I was utterly stunned by the percentage of the Christian leaders who put their, it was nearly all of them that put their hand up. And I think there was probably an awareness in the room that there was a bit of movement, because there's a bit of fistling and rustling whenever you put your hand up. The testimonies after that, very much confess your sins, although it was public, but it wasn't visible. And everybody, I mean, because I'd been so terrifying, kept their eyes tightly shut. But it opened something of incredible, sober breakthrough, a miracle in a room.
Yeah.
The only other time I think we're close to it is, and I've done this maybe three times, is altar calls for infertility.
Yes.
And you are aware that you are bringing pain into the open, and you're often bringing shame into the open, and you're very much bringing death, because people will have had miscarriages when you do that kind of thing. On every single occasion, almost within 9 or 10 months to the date, somebody will email me a baby picture from that.
Yeah.
Because the pain, but the honest desperation before the Lord, provokes the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
I would actually people drive miles to another conference that I'm at with a baby picture, you did this. Yeah. I must break through like the security detail, whatever I have round about me, because sometimes these big places are not safe to minister in, and they will throw a phone at me. Do you remember when you publicly did? And here is,
I think there's some of the beautiful things. In fact,
yeah.
If we have one of our failings, I think, as a church that believes in miracles and healing, is our testimony of people coming back and telling their testimony a year down the line of a healing story. And we have to get much better at that, because it's a testimony to Jesus' power. But certainly in the case of those ones, it's a very obvious miracle, those ones, and people are very good at coming back and telling us about that. So we, when you have said on broadcast that you have a track record with God of Him showing up for that.
Absolutely.
It really is the case there. But we have known ministers, leaders, mm-hmm. who have had a resistance to the prophetic because of poorly done prophetic ministry into the area of infertility. How do you handle that pain, that vulnerability, the heartache?
I think there is a great difference between a manipulative word, which nobody wants. Mm-hmm. So let's just discount. I know something private about you. It's not revelation. Uh-huh. It's information, and I'm going to utilize it as a power game. We have absolutely seen that. I'm a visiting prophet. I know you don't have children. I'm going to go for you. And when you pick somebody out and you expose them as a, I think, however well meaning that is not good. My preference for that is that it is an invited into space.
So you would say and something like, yes, those of you who would like,
you can come forward. Mm-hmm. Now, when they have been brave enough to opt in, mm-hmm. you are in a very different place of agreement.
It's the same with so much ministry. Once, yes, we take that act, like you, your last story about the leaders putting their hands up to be, yes, free of porn, that they were partaking already by an element of public acknowledgement.
Yes, and a cry for help. I think once you invite people to choose their vulnerability, and but you are saying, you are always caveating that with, there is a track record, God heals, this is what he wants, God is redemptive. There's a very definite framework that you put in place so that the stepping into that never creates a shame or a power dynamic that's inappropriate. If I'm ministering children and it is come by revelation and not by, I invite you into this space, it's generally always a private thing. And certainly you don't expose leadership. With one notable exception in my life, and I think I've written, did I write this story in one of the books? But it's funny how God does it. I was invited to a church, and it's slightly hazy memory because it was so long ago. And you know the way you walk in, you think, why am I here? And how did I say yes to this? And they don't want me here, and I don't want to be here, and they're hostile to the word of the Lord, and how am I going to get them to? I mean, just one of those like, oh,
I think,
no.
You open Prophetic Warrior with this story.
I may well do. And
your book.
I pick somebody out to prophesy over, and it's a girl, and it's a fairly standard prophetic word by any measurement. And then I hear the Spirit say, the Lord has asked me to make sure that you are able to conceive and that you have a baby. Oh no, I says I publicly on the microphone, it's not you, it's your husband. And this was a very young girl, and it was not obvious that she was married. Where is your husband? Oh, he is not here. And I start to pray, and give me grace, guys. I start to pray publicly for his sperm count. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking,
so by this point, you had already gone through a couple of, I suppose, check gates of words of knowledge where,
yes,
they could have said, no, you've got that wrong. But actually, God was slowly, by these little words of knowledge, opening,
yes,
a space in
it's
a room
really
that didn't,
brave.
They
it
didn't have a faith
really
or
really brave stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, the minister jumps up, grabs the microphone out of my hands, and I just think, oh no, because it's those are very personal prayers. Mm-hmm. And he's weeping, and I thought he was going to shout at me and kick me out, but he's actually weeping, and he said, the man you have prophesied over his physical function is my son, and he's just been discharged from, it was a cancer ward with a kind of a young man's cancer journey. And he said, the last question we asked the consultant was, would he ever have children and would we ever be grandparents? And the medic said they didn't know, but you have brought, and you brought the word of the Lord. And then I worked with him like I've rarely worked with anybody else. There are those rare moments where, but I think in this conversation, people want to know that God cares about the deeply personal. And how dare we make God the surface level king, or the one who doesn't comment on a prodigal, or doesn't comment on sexual struggles or gender dysmorphias, or that we're not kind enough and brave enough to say, my God has a solution.
I mean,
how dare we get so emotionally frigid that we don't love liberally enough to say, my God has a way.
I think that's been part of my joy of the rise of female prophets back in the church that has the church has squashed for centuries, is that it gives that other facet of, it's not to say that a guy could not prophesy or minister healing in these areas as well, but I think there is something
of a mother
A mother prophesies, whether it's yourself or other female ministers, and they do that, I think there is something quite special there.
You have to hold your face and your physical frame in a certain way. If there is any impurity in you, if there's any salaciousness, if you're titillated by something you shouldn't be, if you can't hold a mature facial expression and a determination that that person matters, you don't do it. Just don't do it. You just create shame by the back door by accident. There's very definitely a learning of a holding of a space that speaks into these situations. This should be the place we go. And I think it's why we've lost ground within the LGBTQ plus debate, because we only knew how to be foolish, salacious, unloving. We did not know how to say, my God mercifully heals.
Mercy. And it comes out of mercy. And actually, I'd been thinking about that because when you were sharing the story of the tent healing miracle earlier in the conversation, I was thinking of another time at a festival where someone was healed in a very different way, this time of their same-sex attraction,
which we didn't know they had.
And it was, again, it was not a manipulative situation.
No.
It was not a situation where we went to convert their thinking. Instead, God did a work on the inside of them miraculously.
In actual fact, that prophetic word was something almost quite average to the uninitiated. It was something like, God is reordering your desires. I mean, it was literally, that was all that was said.
And as you prophesy that, you weren't thinking about necessarily what that meant.
I mean, not at all. I would love to say there was great illumination within the heart and the mind of the prophet who knew all things. The answer is no. And that person was a man who'd only ever had same-sex attraction. And they actually told me, about 2 years later, bizarrely, I was ministering at another church down the line, and they fought to be my driver because they wanted a private moment with me in the car. I got into the car off the airplane, and they said to me about this prophetic word. They said, I sat down at the campfire in the open air later that day. I looked across the campfire at a woman in my church, and I found her attractive, and I realized that your team had prophesied me into righteous desire, and I didn't know what to do with it. And I saw, I found her, and only her, and they were married. I think actually she was pregnant. I mean, literally words that bring life. And so when I'm dealing with the LGBTQ plus situation and the high controversy around manipulative transitioning or conversion therapy, which I cannot stand as a concept because it's not therapy. It's not what it is. It's just not that. And it, I don't quite know how I would phrase it. I tend to sit in that space and say, look, I'm not really very bothered by your history. We don't need to discuss it. We don't need criticism. We don't need a salacious conversation. We don't need any of that. I'm not really bothered in the most honouring sense of whether you felt you were born that way, whether you were abused into that status, whether you think that's a demon or not. What does it matter? What matters is God heals everything. God ultimately restores everything. And I don't even need to do in your face deliverance. I don't need to do, you know, all sorts of ugly things that can be later misconstrued as a therapy session. All I need to understand is that there's power in the word of God. And all I need to know is I can lay my hands on you if you give me permission and I can say, be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I release righteous desire. I've done it enough times with enough testimonies to know that if it's the right moment and you're led by the Spirit, that is enough. Now, I appreciate other things are journeys. I very much appreciate other things are journeys. And we are here for those journeys. If a person is vulnerable enough to go on those journeys with us. But a lot of my stuff is I'm visiting a church for half a day or a weekend and I don't have the luxury of time. So usually in my world, it's not far off, short and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would want to know from in this intimate conversation, what I'd want us to know is God cares and God is able.
He is. Amen.
And I have watched prayers of I break that soul tie and suddenly the desire for that person evaporates.
Mm-hmm.
Literally that simple.
Mm-hmm.
I have watched get out in Jesus' name and there's no wild manifestation. It doesn't need to be. And somebody is completely restored. And
well, what the power of a repentant heart and just someone who realizes.
We have made the gospel a gospel of shame. We have made the gospel a gospel devoid of its power.
Mm-hmm.
We have made our ministers coy and foolish when it comes to the real issues of today.
That people face, the leprosy issues of today. Yeah.
Now, I'm not being in any way inappropriate. I literally worked on the launch team for Viagra. Now, I do joke about that story, but I have been told by senior prophets in America, we don't want you mentioning Viagra on our platforms. Well, can I get a bit of a bee in my bonnet and say, how dare you? How dare you sanitize God, who does not mind dealing with a woman with an issue of blood, who is very happy to lay hands on the leper? He literally, by the culture, is visibly one who looks like he's unclean by proximity. The God who makes himself visibly perceived as an unclean man because he goes to the colony of the lepers and holds on to them. How dare we sanitize the gospel that if you have erectile dysfunction, which to be perfectly honest, nearly every diabetic in the world has, at the higher end of the disease, because that was my therapy area. How dare we not be able to say, my God knows how to fix that?
And we push it as an unspeakable thing in the church.
Yes.
And so people are then going into the world for solutions and getting drawn into things that are potentially less healthy, healing, less
wholesome. How dare we not have the conversations about kingdom, God-ordained physical intimacy?
Mm.
How dare we make our children terrified of physical intimacy by an unhinged, sinful purity culture? Because the purity culture is about shame and not about restoration and righteous desire.
Mm. So we've spoken about, obviously, those who have been healed.
Yeah.
By God through the ministry. There'll be some watching who genuinely their time has passed and, you know, they've not had that opportunity, perhaps a barren couple who are
They've come out the other end and they've passed the chubbing. Very sore.
Do you have a word of comfort
for them? Yes, we actually deal
with
that quite a bit. And I do think that it is excruciatingly painful. There is no way around that. Mm. And it, like all grief, it comes in waves and you never, I think, outgrow a healthy grief journey.
Yeah.
And it comes in different forms in different years. Grief does at different ages and you go through it almost with every passing year in a slightly different form and that you need good friends round about you. I do think that there is the need, therefore, for you to know very personally what the Lord is giving to you that is as deeply rewarding, that is specific and unique to you. So for some, the concept of spiritual children is good enough. For others, that is excruciatingly painful. Mm-hmm. So we don't want a banal and kind of a class action type prayer. But I think there is the need to say, God, you have made me to be rewarded, and you have made me for pleasure, and you have made me to understand satisfied desire. There's an awful lot of scripture, delight yourself in the Lord and he gives the desires of the heart, and the meeting of the God of desire. He is a God of desire. Very clear, he's a God of desire. So the key question is to ask, when it comes to that type of thing, what is a like for like, not necessarily an equivalent, mm-hmm. But a like for like that meets my need for my desire to be met in an appropriate way, because that particular desire door is shut. Because all of us will have a small handful of things that bring us very alive. Sure. None of us just have one thing that brings us fully alive. We have a small set of things, and they're very unique to us. And that is a journey of asking the Lord, what is unique to bringing me alive that you need me to go after?
Very good.
That would be what I would say to that.
Yeah.
If you are the process person with a sexual issue, orientation, and it's not an immediate healing, we know some in our community here where it's immediate. We know who's some that it's a process. I'm not phased either which way round, as long as the journey is on.
Yeah, and don't be judgmental to someone God is working through in a different way.
Some journeys are longer and some journeys more obvious. And that's the joy of kingdom, isn't it? Thy kingdom come, his kingdom comes. Ultimately, we're all healed.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we all get there.
I think we will always expect and pray for the instant, but actually, we're prepared to work alongside people with mercy and grace.
There's beauty in a longer testimony sometimes. Yeah. I would say find yourself a community that will go on the journey and flip and be honest.
Yes.
I have found that you and I have done enough pre-marriage prep with other people that and counselling in very many guises, the more honest a person can be, the more rewarding and the more fruitful the journey.
Yeah.
Lives and dies on honesty.
The time bomb in a marriage or in a relationship is never the past sin. No. It's the hiddenness.
It's the dishonesty.
The secrecy. Yeah, it always is.
So find somebody you can be honest with, and find somebody who can walk your journey of some short accounts.
Very good.
Wow, that wasn't what we planned to talk about, but we said the word intimate conversation, followed the Lord.
Something must have triggered that.
Well, thank you very much for joining David and I for our intimate conversation on What the Prophets Say. We will see you very soon. Bye. Hello friends, I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.